Blog Talk Radio.
Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. We thank God
that we're able to be here one more time. We finally got everything straight. Had a little trouble trying to log on, but hopefully we got everything all straight now. So just thank God that we're here. Hopefully I got everything straight now. We finally got logged in to send the links to Facebook and Twitter and also the Blog Talk Friends. So I hope that everybody is in now, that I did send the link, but I had trouble logging in. My computer froze. I had 5 minutes to go, so I had to shut it down and restart it up all over again. So thank God that we're, like I said, that we're able to be here one more time to get into the Word of God, which is none other than the perfect law of liberty. So we have been teaching on the Godhead, and I think the last 8 weeks or so. And so on today, on this evening, I'm going to be teaching out of the Book of Psalms on today's lesson on the in the Psalms. So we're going to go there. So anyway, thank God that we're able to be here to be able to promote the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of glory. So that's the greatest revelation of all time, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So like we always say, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So that you can find that in the book of Timothy. So he was, Paul was admonishing him. So it's the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of Christ. So today we're going to be coming out of the book of the Psalms, and it's the 83rd Psalm, incidentally, and the 18th verse of the 83rd Psalm. So, and the 18th verse says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. So incidentally, like I've said before, for those of you all that have followed me, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. But it's the same God that's back there in the beginning. When that's the divine testimony. In the beginning, God was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So I would like to also make sure I give the call-in number. If anyone out there desire to call in, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. If, should you desire to call in. So we've been teaching on the Godhead, and so that's talking about the oneness of God. So many people don't know. They think that it's God the Son, God the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and it's three separate persons, but that is not so. There's only one God. There's only one. And the Godhead simply means the God who is the head of all things. And like we've said, this, you can find the scriptures in the Bible. They're only in three places, and that is the book of Romans, the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 17th chapter, and it's also in the first chapter of Romans, 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and the second chapter of Colossians. 8 and 9 says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit, after the philosophy of the men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It's simply an office, the office, the Christ. And also, you read in the book of the Revelation, when it's talking about God being all in all, and there's going to be no need of the sun, the light is the lamb thereof, just letting you know it's the same one in the book of the Revelation. So Jesus is the Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. So we can look in some places in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter in the first verse, when God is the Almighty God, when he spoke to Abraham and said, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He is the Almighty. Okay? In Exodus 3 and 14, he is the I Am. Exodus, the third chapter, the sixth chapter in the third verse, he was saying that he appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, Exodus 6 and 3. But by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. It's the same God. So actually, Isaiah really brings out a lot, and then also in the Psalms bring out a lot of the oneness of God. And incidentally, they didn't, when they preached Jesus out of the prophets. They preached Jesus out of the prophets and the law. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms, the prophets and the law. They didn't have the New Testament as we have it. So they preached them out of the Old Testament. And so that's the way that you can really explain about him. So he appeared under, he appeared under them by the name of God Almighty, but he didn't appear under them by the name of Jehovah. So also in Exodus, the third chapter and the 14th verse, and I'm trying to move along quickly here, he said, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So they say, if you try to translate it that, I will be what I am, I will be what I will be, I will be who I will be, I will be where I will be. It just keep going on and on. So that they broke it down in the translation, I am that I am. And so this is incidentally what Jesus said in the 8th chapter of St. John when he was talking to the Jews. And he was telling them that Abraham, your father Abraham, they said, we'd be Abraham's seed. You know, he was letting them know that they were of their father, the devil. I'll go there in the 8th chapter of St. John. So he came to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But what we want to do is go here in the 8th chapter of St. John in the 44th verse. I'll go up a little farther. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came out from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you hear my word. You cannot hear my word. Excuse me. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Talking about the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of them. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? A question. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. This is he's telling those Jews. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Now, he then went into his state. He's speaking as God there. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? This is the question that they are asking Jesus. Jesus said unto them, here it is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There it is. That's the same I am back then. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a miracle. He disappeared because it was not his time for them to get him yet. Now, we know that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why the Son of Man came. He called himself who he is in the 10th chapter of St. John, the Good Shepherd. And he was saying, all that ever came me are thieves and robbers. I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he went on to say that no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Some people say, take it back up. He said, take it again. So that is, he is the same I am. So he is also five things we want to look at here. He's the Almighty. We already read that, Genesis 17 and 1. He is the I am. We read that in Exodus. He is the rock. That's what we want to read in Psalms 18 and verse 2, that he is the rock. So, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, verse 2, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I call upon who? The Lord. The same Jehovah that we're talking about there in the 83rd Psalm, that's the same one that this chief musician right here, this is the Psalm of David. And actually, these Psalms, the book of the Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. So they literally sung these song. This one here, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. I remember we sung that one. We sing the one, the Lord is my light, the 27th Psalm, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? We sung those. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the rider by his name, Yach, and rejoice before him. And rejoice before him, and rejoice before him. These are psalms or songs in the book of the Psalms, which is the hymn book of the Bible. So also, we could go to the 28th Psalm here, which is another psalm David. And so here in the 28th Psalm, he, in the first verse, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest I be thou silent. If thou be silent to me, I will be like them that go down to the pit. What he's talking about, going down to the pit, he's talking about the grave when he's talking about that. Or it's called Sheol, or it's called hell. But literally what they're talking about, even when the psalmist, one writer said that thou will not leave thy soul in hell, neither suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He literally was talking about the grave there in that passage of Scripture. So we can see here, so he's the horn of salvation. Then also the ones that everybody is familiar with, we will go there, and that is the 23rd Psalm. That is, we know that's one of the famous psalms, and most definitely a psalm of the psalmist sweet psalmist of Israel, and they called him David. And so here in the 23rd psalm, which David here is talking, and the shepherd is literally never had said a word here, but the psalmist is talking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Somebody said, he's my shepherd too. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Who? Go back up. The Lord is. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Who? The Lord. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we can see here his title, he's the Almighty we've been talking about. We've been talking about the I Am. These are names of Jehovah. We've been talking about the Rock. We've been talking about he is a horn of salvation. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. So we're going to get to those, okay? And St. John, the 10th chapter, what I made mention of a little previously here on this evening is he is the good shepherd of the sheep here in the 10th chapter. So he goes on here, verse 11. But anyway, I'll go up a little farther. Jesus here, we know here, and he was saying that he was the door of the sheepfold, and you had to enter in by the door. So you climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own by name and leadeth them. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So the voice of God to us, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, the voice of God is the word of God. So there are so many deceivers out there. They're saying, in general, a lot of things to people. But every word, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. That's why in the book of the Revelation, the first three chapters, Jesus himself said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's so funny what the people are doing. They are, everything they ended up saying, they're begging for money. They wanting people to send in a seed. And they don't like people to tell the truth. And that's what this broadcast is all about, to uncover that. Because what we owe God is the tithe is the tenth and a free will offering, and you don't have to sow no seed. And literally what he was talking about anyway, where they get all that from, the Old Testament, those things are all done away with. And the seed in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, when the Lord said, as the snow cometh down from heaven and the rain comes down from heaven and maketh the earth to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, that's dealing with geography. A farmer would know literally what Isaiah was talking about there in that scripture. So he said, make the earth to bring forth and the bud. What is he talking about, the rain and the snow? It's that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The Lord goes on to say through the prophet Isaiah, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the thing that I sent it and prosper in that which I please. What is he talking about? Literally, seed. He's talking about a farmer. He's not talking about money. And people pick that up. Yo, sow a seed. No, you don't have to sow no seed. Not what they're talking. That's not talking about that. That's doing violence to the scriptures. That's trying to hustle you out of your money. You don't have to sow a seed. The gospel is so it's a simplistic. It's a simple gospel. But they have made it. Like that's what Paul told Timothy when he wrote in the book of Timothy what a bishop had to be sober and a lover of hospitality, all these qualifications that he had to be. Then he had one thing that he told a bishop who is a pastor or an overseer. He told him not to be greedy of filthy lucre. And you know what filthy lucre is? Filthy lucre is money. And so you know them. You know those hustlers, people trying to hustle you out of your money. You know them by their fruits, because that's what they do. And some people, they can preach, and then they get and end up, when they get done, they're begging for money. Like I said, you cannot, and a lot of preachers, they hate for me to say it, but I'm not going to shut up by the grace of God. You cannot buy a blessing. You can't con God. You can't blackmail God. So you might as well know what the word says. Ain't no sowing no seed. That is a lie. Sow a seed to keep us on the air. Within, if it's of God, like in the book of Acts, when the church first started, they say, if this be of God, you cannot stop it. But if it's not of God, it's going to come to naught. So if God started you out, God can sustain you. God is the one that is our helper. And he will uphold us if he's in it. But people are trying to hustle God. So anyway, here, I don't want to get off on that, but I have liberty to be able to say that. So anyway, as we go on here, we're talking about the good shepherd. So he goes on to say here, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, who? Jesus. He shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here's where I wanted to get. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. What that is literally talking about, he came but for nothing at that time but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he came for at that particular time. But we know that on the day of Pentecost, the door was open for everyone, initially for the Jews. And Peter preached, said, the promise to you, to your children, to all that are far off. That's talking about the Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it was for everybody. So you go on in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, that's what they did. Here under the law, Jesus let you know what we had to do. We had to believe in him. In the book of Matthew, he was a king. He wrote to the Jews. In the book of Mark and in the book of Luke, he was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He was a servant. And in the book of St. John, he is the divine God. So that's what we're here talking about. Today we're talking about the shepherd. How many people are preaching Jesus and talking about what he can do, how he can save, how he came to save us from our sins? Like Apostle Paul said that Christ came into the world to save sinners when he wrote in the book of Timothy. He said he came to save sinners of whom I am chief. His message was not begging people for money. I marvel at all of this. These people, that's all they're doing is trying to get your money. And they don't like it when people come and say something about it, because they're deceiving people. So we go on here. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd here. So we want to go on in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we find another kind of shepherd, talking about the same God. And so Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And that's another thing. So that's why the Bible says in the book of Romans that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ shall quicken, or that word means make alive, your mortal body by his spirit. So, and then another scripture I want to go to right while I'm here, 1 John 3:16, the first epistle of John, the third chapter and the 16th verse. Now, we're not talking about St. John, but we're talking about 1 John, because many don't understand about the Godhead, about the oneness of God. So anyway, as we go, 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life, who, God, for us, and we all ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So how did he die? He didn't die as a spirit. He's an eternal spirit. He can't die. But he died as a man, because he became the shepherd. He became the good shepherd to die for our sins. So he died as the Son of God. He rose as the priest. He was God to receive the offering that he gave. He took the power of death from the devil. He spoiled principalities and powers and all of them things. All of those things that were against us, he did away with it. He didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. That's why the scripture says, Christ says it's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In the book of the Romans, when he wrote to the Romans, don't say in your heart who's going to go up to heaven to bring Christ down, who's going to descend into the deep to bring him up again. He said, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? But the quote that he was making about him, don't say who's going to heaven to bring him down, who's going to the death to bring him up, he's talking about in the book of Deuteronomy. And then incidentally, the people that he was talking to in the book of the Romans, in the church at Rome, where he started off, and we have been through the book of Romans, when he heard of their faith, he didn't start that church. That wasn't one of the churches that he started. But he had heard of their faith, and he went to them, and he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. And that's why he was saying, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome, for as much as life in me is. And he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. Remember I said he went to the Israelites, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's back in the book of Habakkuk, when he said the just shall live by, making it personal, his faith. So it's only the one same God. So we're going to move around here as we're talking about the importance of a name, and a name is very important, and you cannot just pick up a contract for a particular company and start reading about the benefits of that particular company. We'll say IBM. We'll say General Motors. We'll say Apple Computer, or Verizon, or whoever we want to say. We'll say Dell Computer. You can't enjoy the benefits of that company if you haven't got hired. You got to come in through the door. You can't just read that. That doesn't pertain to you if you're not an employee of that particular company. And so it is with the Lord. And there are those that they do everything in the name of Jesus. They'll pray, they'll preach, they'll do everything. They'll blaspheme that worthy name, James said, by which ye are called. They won't be water baptized in that name. And listen to me, that is a trick of the devil, because that's what washes away your sins. Is what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. And that's why Luke, when he wrote, who he also wrote the Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, that's why he said, neither is there salvation in any other, when he was preaching Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. So you got to know, at the Nicene Council, that so-called Constantine had a vision in 300 years after Pentecost, and he so-called had this vision. That's when the Catholicism arose up, and they changed the baptism, and so-called Trinity, which is a lie, even the devil knows. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The Bible goes on to say in James 2:19, the devils also believe and tremble. The devil and the fallen angels also know that there is one God. And you know how that is? They only seen one. They've never seen more than one. But anyway, we go here. John is writing in 1 John, the second chapter. And he's writing here, little children, it's the last time that you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist, it doesn't say anti-God. It says anti-Christ. So that means you're anti-sociable. You're not sociable. Antichrist means you're against Christ. So he says the last time, 1 John 2:18, little children, the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, plural, in the world. Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But who is a liar? He goes on here. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. This is a question he's putting out. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. So see, that shows you right there, that is the oneness. And many don't understand. They don't understand that triune God, as people put it. There's no Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God can never be what he is not. In other words, you cannot contain God. When he gets being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. That's because he's in you, he's in me, he's in China, he's in Japan, he's in Yugoslavia, he's in Spain, he's in America, he's in Africa, he's all over the world. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He stretched out the north, Job said, over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He put all the stars out there, all those many billions of galaxies and quasars and all out there. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. He's God. He had no beginning. He had no ending. Even from everlasting, before the mountains were brought forth in the 90th Psalm, before the earth was formed, or the world, the psalmist Moses revealed unto him, he said, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And the name Jehovah means Jesus is become our salvation. So this is the message Apostle Paul is preaching on the day on the road to Damascus in the 9th Psalm. He had letters to go bind all of them that call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Incidentally, wasn't nobody else there, because those were the only people there. During that time, the New Testament church had begun. He went out to bind all of those that call on the name of the Lord. And so the Lord got his attention, and binded him, and he was appeared unto him above the great light shined unto him, and was above the brightness of the noonday sun. And so literally in the text, the Apostle Paul was persecuting the children of God. And I'm going to that because I want to read it the way that it was. So he desired of him letters in Acts, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse, to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell unto the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? So here we have in this translation, Who art thou, comma, Lord? In the literal translation, he said, Who art thou, Jehovah? And Jehovah said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So he said, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord, or who art thou, Jehovah? And the Lord said, or Jehovah said, like notice the translations, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, prick is a sharp object that they use to keep cattle in line. When they kick against the prick, they kick the prick. The prick is sharp, and they're hurting themselves. And that's why he said it's hard to kick against the pricks, because you kick against the pricks, you're going to hurt yourself. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, notice the word that he's using. What would thou have me to do? And the Lord said, I'm talking about the Lord Jehovah. Unto him arise and go into a city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, that's one account of him, what he said. Okay, the second account is in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And incidentally, this man, Apostle Paul, who we're talking about, was Saul, how God chose him and chose him to be a light unto the Gentiles, to be the apostle unto the Gentiles. And he dropped the S from his name and added a P. So he says, Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul. He started calling him Paul. He renamed him. So that's just the same way it is with us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, that means a human being, the Bible is written in a masculine gender. But you can go back in the Proverbs, when it's talking about wisdom and it's talking about instruction, it's written in the feminine gender. It says, hold on to her. She is thy life. She'll bring honor to you. So you just got to understand biblical terminology. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking about a human being when he's talking about being born again. So anyway, he gives his account here in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles here. And so I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying unto me, this is verse 7 in Acts 22, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I answered, Who art thou, Lord? Remember I said that word was translated Jehovah. He said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid. But, here, catch this, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And we're going to go on even farther to show you on another account in the 26th chapter, when he was talking to King Agrippa, he said, I heard him speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue. God is a wonder. He does what he will in the army of heaven. None could stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? So he goes on, I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light, were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What wilt thou have? Shall I do, Lord? He said unto me, Arise and go to Damascus. There shall it be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I heard, I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. When Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And what we got to realize here, this is the same account, and I know I'm talking fast, that was given in the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter. It was 3 days later, he was blind. Somebody led him by the hand. This is on the third day here that one of our bishops called Ananias, a little unknown preacher, because he said, I heard about him, all the things he had done. God said that he's a chosen vessel to bear my name for the Gentiles and for the children of Israel. I must show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So anyway, he here came and said unto and came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Same hour I looked upon him. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. Now why tarriest thou? He asked the question, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the formula for baptism. You've got to be baptized, and the devil himself don't want you to know that what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus, not saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name, name means one. The name of, who is the Father? The name of, who is the Son? The name of, who is the Holy Ghost? Anybody with common sense, you would have to admit, it's the name of Jesus. And the devil don't want you to know that. He can't stop me from saying it. So we go on here, and so he water baptized him in the name of Jesus. So we want to go on here because we're just proving a point that this same Jesus is Jehovah, who we are talking about. Now, in subsequent weeks, we've been talking that when the Lord said, I'm Jehovah, I'm God, I'm the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. I have saved. Besides me, there is no Savior. I am the Lord. He was saying, there is none with me. None can deliver out of my hand. None before me. None after me. None beside me. There's none other God but one. That is the great mystery. That God, Emmanuel, which being interpreted. That's why the angel in Isaiah 7:14 says his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that is so important. Oh, that people would preach Jesus instead of preaching your money out of your pocket and telling you got to sow a seed, instead of preaching philosophy, instead of preaching to your emotions. Oh, that they would preach the word to your spirit or to your heart like they should. If everybody would preach Jesus, oh, what a difference it would make. Instead of everybody else being important, but they didn't get the revelation that John the Baptizer got when he wrote in the 40th Psalm. He was saying, "Comfort ye my people, speak comfort for to Jerusalem," talking about her welfare, all the things that she happened. God has gave her double for her sins, and he went on to say, "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be brought low, every hill shall be the crooked mountain shall be brought low." The rough places shall be made plain, and the valley is going to be exalted, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so this was John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, you coming to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized in you. He suffered to be so, that it behooves us to fulfill all all righteousness. So he suffered them. He baptized them. And that's why the Bible said, upon you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. In St. John there, he says the one you see the Spirit descending on and staying on, he's saying, remaining, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he is the baptizer, the Lord himself. But anyway, we want to go on here to prove the point of King Agrippa here. Apostle Paul had testified to this man. And so he goes on, and I don't want to try to read all of that. I don't have time. But anyway, the 13th verse, 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. At midnight, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me, and them would journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Remember I said the Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? He literally said, Jehovah. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So Lord is not a name. That's one of his titles. They called him God. They called him God Almighty. But he said he got a name. And so that's why the name had to be revealed. And so that's why, and so this is what the psalmist was saying there in the 83rd Psalm on the day that is so very important. The point, the reason why that I came from that psalm, that men may know. See, this is so important, that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all the earth. And see, some people get stuck. They stuck on the one name. They don't want to go any farther. I mean, how foolish can you be? The Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. And that's why that I have dubbed this particular broadcast truth, because it is truth when it was rightly divided. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here's, let me show you something that's really stupid with all capital letters. The organization of people that call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Actually, you know, I'm a witness of Jehovah, because Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. But anyway, that being said, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They got a doctrine which they did violence to the scriptures, the 144,000, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. They say, ain't nobody going to be saved but the 144,000, and I think it's 2 or 3 million of them. So you know what that they're saying? Okay, ain't nobody going to be saved but 144,000? So you know what I say about the 2 million or 3 million of them that it is? They got to be crazy, because I wouldn't be in that. If anybody else going to be saved, how foolish is that? That 144,000 is the remnant that is going to be saved. There's seven parts to the first resurrection. That's a remnant of the first resurrection. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. So you got to rightly divide the word. So don't take that up. People have come up with all this stuff, but the Bible is right. That's why God, the Bible said there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. This is Ephesians, the 4th chapter. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. And he goes on to say, to everyone is given the measure of the gift of the measure of the gift of Christ. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He that descended, he said, what is it first that he that descended, first of all, ascended up into the heavens, that he might fill all things? What is it that he that ascended descended into the lower parts? That, so he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. The knowledge of the Son of God, that's the office of sonship that Jesus is in right now. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, grow up. That's maturity. That's the word that girls used to say to boys when we were teenagers. Two words, grow up in him who is ahead of all things, even Christ. The word unto a perfect man. The word perfect means maturity. Because people say, there's nobody perfect. There's too many times in the New Testament, even starting off with the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 5 and 48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. You got to be perfect. You're talking about back in the Old Testament, how some kings did this and some did that, but not with a perfect heart. The word perfect means mature. You don't have to. That's why God said in the 17th chapter of Genesis, the one that I read, I'm the Almighty God. He said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Don't mean like we look at it, oh my God, I make a mistake, I'm lost. He's talking about biblical perfection. He's talking about growing up. He's talking about maturity. Biblical language is perfection or perfect means maturity. So anyway, here in the 26th chapter of the 15th verse, I said, who art thou? He literally said, Jehovah or Lord. He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the Lord Jesus talking here when he said this to King Agrippa. But the point being, this is the same account of his testimony. He's talking to three different groups, three accounts here of the Apostle Paul's testimony. So he goes on here, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And so look what happens here. See, this is why this man wrote in the book of Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He persecuted the church everywhere he went, they was after him. But he said, he goes on to him here, for this cause, these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than which those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise, show light, rise from the dead, show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. This is so profound right here. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God that thou not only, that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether as I am, except these bonds. I don't want them to be bound like I am. So we are just about out of time here on the day, but there's a lot of other things that we can deal with, and that is he's the King of Glory. He's the light, he's salvation, he's the Lord of hosts, he's the Lord of hosts, he's the Holy One, he's the lawgiver, he's the judge, he's the first and the last, he's the Savior, he's the giver of spiritual water, he's the King of Israel, he's the Creator, he's the only just God, he's the Redeemer, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Provider, he's Jehovah Rapha, the Healer, he's Jehovah Nisu, our Banner, our Victory, he's Jehovah En Kadesh. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, our Lord of hosts. He's Jehovah Elon, the Most High. He's Jehovah Reah, the Shepherd. He's Jehovah Hissanun, the Maker. He's Jehovah Desid Kanu, our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shammai. He's ever-present one. So we thank God for his word. And so hoping that you did get a blessing out of the word of the Lord on the day. Next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels,
preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. God bless you.